Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Let's Watch podcast. I'm your host, James, with my co-host, Carolyn.
Hello.
And today we are talking about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, a movie that Carolyn definitely knew existed before now and was so excited to see because she just loves the MCU and all superhero films. I am correct about this, aren't I?
I mean, I knew it existed. It's impossible to stay away from this stupid universe. And I also had no desire to see it, if I'm being honest.
Stupid universe, huh?
Did I say that?
I mean, you did, yes.
But it's just all-consuming, this universe. It's like there's like a billion different movies. It feels like you can never catch up. You never know which ones are incorporated, which ones aren't. For some reason, the algorithm thinks that I care about Tony Stark and little baby Tom Holland, Spider-Man, and whatever. And I know all the spoilers. I have never looked it up because I do not care. But yeah, so I didn't want to watch this movie. I didn't not want to watch it. But I didn't, like, I wasn't going to go rush out to hunt it down. That said, I actually really like this movie.
What?
You didn't like it?
No. Like, first of all, this movie's fine. Like, it's like, it's got the baseline, like, Marvel level of quality of being like, the movie's not bad, but I found it was mostly fine.
Oh, it wasn't my favorite Marvel movie in the world, but I liked it a lot more than I thought I would, because I feel like a lot of these, especially when you really just don't care about the universe like me, you watch them and you're kind of sitting there being like, okay. Whereas this one, I think what I found refreshing about it is like, it's not the same stupid people you've been seeing all the time and the same memes and the in-jokes. Like, it felt like a Marvel movie that was approachable for people who don't care about Marvel movies. And it meant that you could watch it just as a straight up action movie. Like, I kind of forgot that it was part of the universe until the very end, which I love.
Yeah, there's really no ties except for like one character to the greater MCU. And that character is so minor at all that, and in this movie is also minor, that it really doesn't matter. It's like an origin story, and it is definitely most similar to like style in film, or at least like narrative structures, like Black Panther, where it just kind of exists in its own thing. And then at the end of the movie, they're like, oh yeah, here's the rest of the world, by the way, so you guys understand now.
Yeah, which I like, because like, I'm so sorry, but I hate that Marvel is so intertwined and whatnot, because it makes it feel like, especially when there was that one Avengers movie that had like every single person, like there was like 40 people on the poster, you know what I mean? Like, it's too much.
Yeah, but I mean, it's very popular, obviously, and that's what they're doing, and like, this character will be there. I think this movie's fine. I think the action and special effects are great. They're done very well.
I thought the rings were a really cool thing and something that we're not used to seeing. And I also thought the first fight, where you don't even know that the guy is like going to be a superhero kind of thing, and there's nothing like magical necessarily about it, I thought that scene was actually really cool. And it stood out from the other fight scenes as well.
The bus scene?
The bus scene, because it was so cool. There were, like, I get really bored in mystical fights, you know what I mean? Because it's like I'd take a...
You don't like two big CG monsters fighting each other and you're like, why do I care?
Exactly. It's like, I'd take like a kung fu on a bus over, you know, magic staff versus magic rings any day, so...
Exactly. It's like, you can... Like, I prefer that as well. Like, I do... I think one of this movie's flaws, at least for me, is that the end of it is just two CG things happening and you can't see the characters you care about.
Okay, I was going to ask that. Did it fall victim to the Wonder Woman third act curse? Because I felt that it did.
Which Wonder Woman are we talking about? The first one?
The first one, where it's like the first two acts were awesome. And then the third one, you're like, I don't know where we are in space. There's just a lot of smoke and there's a lot of weird CG things running around and like, sorry, what was the story? Now it's just, who's this monster? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely does. It's the same thing that happened to Black Panther, where it's like, okay, now we're just CG people fighting, I guess. At least in this one, you can at least tell the monsters apart because they're noticeably different. Mm-hmm. But I had the same thing. It's like, okay, so now we just have two giant CG things fighting each other that neither have been very, very, very well explained. Like, I have no idea what this is other than... No, and we don't, like, I have no, like, like the dragon that they find, like, obviously I think that is interesting because it is like something that is there for them, but like the monster is just so like, I don't even remember the name of the monster or like what it does, other than like it like sucks souls and somehow that helps it get power, and it was behind this door forever, and I'm like, okay, what is it? Oh, it doesn't matter. All right, I guess we just won't, like, why do I care about that in any way? Like, the big fight you're supposed to care about is like between him and his dad. But I, you know, I just, to get into it, is like, I thought this was like basically three separate movies in one. Like, you have the beginning with Shang-Chi in San Francisco with his best friend Awkwafina, and they're just kind of like burnout dirtbags. And I really liked that. Like, I thought that worked.
Me too.
Like, they have good chemistry there, and it's like,
well, that
fun.
Felt like an action movie that wasn't like a superhero movie. That felt like, not Fast and the Furious, but it felt like something that was like more heist movie or more like buddy movie. Like, it felt real. And I love those kinds of things where it's like set in the city and you're like, oh, that person's so badass. Badass, but like, and obviously they're not going to be doing flips in a bus, but like badass, but a little bit more real, you know, than the mystical world. So that worked for me. Yes, I agree. That first chapter, it worked for me.
And they're both very talented comedic actors. So,
well,
they
what
have
I
good
liked
timing.
Is that Awkwafina was so more toned down in this movie than in a lot of the movies that she's been in. And I actually really liked that because she felt like a real person, not like putting on a show. Like, she was still very funny, but it didn't feel like she was trying so hard.
I agree. I do think if she's not reined in, she can be a bit much, like too Awkwafina-y.
I don't even know if it's that. I feel like it's like, it's the same thing as our dear sweet Nicolas Cage. I think people ask for that. You know, I don't think that that's necessarily what she wants. I think it's just like people are like, oh, we want that big, loud, obnoxious thing. And she's all right.
She's a very talented dramatic actor. If anybody's seen The Farewell, she's very, very good in that film. I think she also started as a comedian. So she likes.
And isn't she like a rapper and stuff too or something?
She also started as a rapper. She did a song called My Pussy.
Yeah.
Where she raps about her pussy. If you needed that explained to you,
it's my vag, actually.
Oh, well, you know, she started that and then she had like a Vice talk show or something. So she's done a lot of stuff. And I do think she is funny. I just do think she can also like be a little hit or miss in movies so far with her comedy.
And that's the thing. It's like, I think people kind of typecast her for that specific type of obnoxious.
I feel like she also like gets typecast as like the quirky best friend a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there is not a whole lot different between her character from Crazy Rich Asians and this movie. If we're being honest.
If we're being honest, I haven't seen Crazy Rich Asians.
Okay. Well, never mind then. and I think Simu Liu is good as Shang-Chi with her in that situation. But my issues for the film start when they leave San Francisco is that, and I grant the action throughout until like even the action at the end where it's just big CG monsters fighting, it's like, well done. I understand the space those monsters are in. I can see them. I just didn't care about those monsters. So I just.
Yes, not at all.
Yeah. But like throughout the action is great. And I think it's very well done. But when we get back, when he goes back, when his dad comes back into the picture and meets up with him, essentially, and his sister, like, I liked him going and finding his sister and how she like ran an underground illegal fight club. And like, I liked her story of how they trained to fight. I just wish the movie actually used her and not.
Yeah, I didn't love her for some reason. Like, I liked the story around her, but I just didn't love her. She had the same expression on her face the whole time.
She didn't have much to do, to be fair.
No. And I couldn't figure out how old she was supposed to be.
She's younger than him.
She did not look it.
I mean, she kind of does. I mean, but he's supposed to be 24.
She just didn't work a ton for me. But yeah, I think that's because she didn't have a whole lot to do beyond like they have their first thing where it's like, okay, she's mad at him and then she's not mad at him anymore. And so she's just kind of there now.
Well, yeah, they end up going back to their dad and they find out all this stuff. But once it's like the Tao Lo stuff starts happening, I just had so many questions about like, it felt like the movie was like, okay, we need to like get on fast forward a little bit here. Because we spent so much time in the beginning, like setting everything up and introducing these characters. And I think obviously Tony Leung is obviously great in this film. He's great in everything he ever does. He's so much better than everybody else in this movie. And it really shows in big scenes when people need to act against each other. And his fight, fall in love scene is great. That's a great scene. I love it so much.
You know what? Yes, it was. And what I liked is that the dad's character was actually kind of interesting in that he was like a bit of an asshole. And then he kind of like fell in love and then was less of an asshole. But then his wife died and then he was kind of an asshole again. But what I appreciated about the whole narrative is that like, it's not like his wife died and then he just became straight up evil. Like I appreciated that he was doing all of this for love. Like he thought he heard his wife's voice. Mm-hmm. And he was doing this for love, which I kind of appreciated because it's like, he's not a great guy. So he's sacrificing everything for this love and he's becoming obsessive about this love, but it is still for love. He's not going to like movies where the parent suddenly is like against the children and is willing to kill them for whatever money or cause or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay. Especially if we're supposed to believe that this guy like fell in love in the first place, but doing it for love, that I bought it, you know?
Yeah. I found his character more interesting than Shang-Chi, honestly. Mm-hmm. And that I think is partly because of who the actor is who's playing him and that he's mm-hmm. so good at bringing so much to the screen. And that his character, I think, is just generally more interesting. That is more interesting about a guy who is like a bad guy, falls in love, has children, and then that life is taken from him. And then it's his grief that drives him back, not like, mm-hmm. I don't have anything else to do. And then it's like driven by his desire to save her.
Yeah.
Like he's in his own mind, he thinks he's the hero.
Yeah.
And he obviously has lots of like love for his children. He just can't. He doesn't understand how to show them that love. Like he mm-hmm. thinks just making them like him is what they want, but it's neither of them want that. They don't want to be him. Well, at least Shang-Chi doesn't want to be him, right? Like I don't even really know what that character wants other than to like put his past behind him and be able to like move on. I think that's
I don't think they really explain the motivations of anyone's characters
other than Wenwu.
Yeah, other than Wenwu. Why was Ben Kingsley in this movie?
Okay, so did you see Iron Man 3?
No.
Okay, so in Iron Man 3...
Actually, oh my god, maybe I did. I think I did see Iron Man 3.
So I'm going to try to explain this as quickly as I can for you, because it's a fair amount. But I'm going to go back. In Marvel Comics, there's a character called the Mandarin. He is the character with 10 rings, and he is a villain. And he is normally played by an Asian person. Or in the comics, he's portrayed as Asian or Chinese mm-hmm. specifically. And then in Iron Man 3, the Mandarin was going to be the villain, and they cast Ben Kingsley, right? Mm-hmm. And then they reveal throughout that movie that Ben Kingsley's the Mandarin. It was just a dude pretending, hired by the actual bad guy to do that. And as they've gone, that movie came out, I think, around like 2011, 2010, around that time. I can't remember the exact
2013. Then,
as it's gone on, and as Disney and Marvel have realized that people want diversity, also it's important, and you maybe need to like update stuff in your past to like make it a little better, because I know Ben Kingsley does not identify as white, but he is also commonly known as like a British actor. He mm-hmm. is not Chinese.
No.
So they, when this movie came out, they were like, oh, well, we can't use the Mandarin because we've kind of ruined that. Mm-hmm. But we're going to put that character in here as like comedic relief, I think. And to, I don't think that they're like, because Wenwu is really the actual Mandarin, but he just doesn't get called that. And he mm-hmm. makes a joke about it at the beginning, right? About how being it's like white people call me this. I think that was like them trying to be like, they're like, he's punishing this man, but it's also Marvel still making the movie. I thought Ben Kingsley was good, but I didn't see a reason why his character should exist in this film, honestly, other than they needed like a bumbling idiot.
Yeah. And someone who doesn't know that callback, it just felt weird. I was like, what's this white dude doing here? Like, though, yes, I agree. He's not actually white. I think he's half Indian and half white. But
I think a lot of people assume, this is, I think, a weird conversation to have, but I think a lot of people assume Ben Kingsley is white.
Yeah, he is. His dad was Kenyan born of Indian descent, and his mom is an English actress. So he's, half white, half Indian, basically. But yes, people think of him as like this British stage actor.
Yeah. And he's an incredible actor. And I just think mm-hmm. they put him in this movie as like Marvel's trying to like make up for their past bad representation. And,
you know, I'm glad they didn't call this dude the Mandarin, even though he technically is the Mandarin, because like, if you think about it, if you are a Chinese man and if you maybe speak Mandarin or whatever, you're not going to call yourself the Mandarin. Like that is such a white name for it.
Well, just wait until you find out what Shang-Chi's main villain in the comics was.
Who?
Fu Manchu.
Of course it was.
But Marvel doesn't own that anymore. They let that go because that's very bad. But that doesn't work for me. Like, I think Ben Kingsley is funny and his character is funny, but it also is like when you tie in all that, I just was like, also, why is this guy here? And then my main big problem with this movie is when they get to Taolo and it's this beautiful, like, haven essentially, mm-hmm. and you get to see Michelle Yeoh, who's lovely and is great again in like a limited role because she's a great actress, and they go there and it's Shang and his sister and Awkwafina. Why did that area feel very rushed to you and like not well explained?
Yeah, 100%. I felt like the pacing in this movie in general was a little bit weird.
Yeah, it's like they go to this like land and we know Shang-Chi and his sister can both speak what I don't know the actual language they're speaking. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get it wrong. But they have both, like, there's been subtitles throughout the film. But when they actually get to this land of their mother's homeland or whatever, the predominant language spoke is English.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't make sense to me. And I just didn't really care.
I think they had Awkwafina there not really speaking anything other than English so that they could speak more English.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, a remote village in the woods is not going to speak English. You're right. What I did appreciate, though, and I noticed this throughout the movie, often in superhero movies like this, at the beginning when they're telling the tale, they put it in whatever language, not English. And the subtitles, and it's all da-da-da-da-da, folklore, here's the legend. And they do it not in English, and then you never see subtitles again through the rest of the movie. What I appreciated about this is that they didn't stay away from subtitles as much as I thought they would in a Marvel movie, in a Hollywood blockbuster movie, because I think people are like allergic to reading the bottom of the screen for some reason. But mm-hmm. this movie, you couldn't walk away for too long because there was subtitles throughout it, like consistently throughout it. Definitely not like to the degree of a foreign language film, but I did appreciate that they didn't stay away from it. And there were certain characters who only ever spoke in subtitles. That's a weird thing to say, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I like that. And I, mm-hmm. I love how this movie is predominantly Chinese cast mm-hmm. and they get to just be, there's very few, and it's, I like all that. And it's great. What do you think this movie's trying to say?
Nothing. I don't think this movie's trying to say anything. I feel like they were trying to say
some stuff, but then it like pulls back from that.
Yeah, agreed. I feel like it started off with, it started off with promise, because actually this is like a question that I have, is like, I'm really curious what Asian Americans and also Asian non-Americans think about this film. Because like, I know it's often compared to like Black Panther, but it's like the Chinese Black Panther or whatever.
Yeah, the other Marvel movie that was
predominantly like non-white.
huge representation. Yeah.
Yeah. But like Black Panther did a really good job of showcasing Black culture, both like in different areas of the world, both in this like, I mean, mythical society, sure, but like a society where Blackness is the norm. And then also in the US where it's not the norm, but it is a minority and it's treated differently. And like you question your Blackness and like you can grow up very different ways depending on where in the world mm-hmm. you are. So I think Black Panther. I think Black Panther did a really good job of showcasing that and actually discussing it without necessarily overtly discussing it. But yes. I can't speak for the Asian American community, but I'm wondering what they think of it. If this highlighted it in the same way, because I feel like it didn't, but I feel like at the beginning of the film, when we're seeing the family scenes and stuff like that, there is a little bit of that kind of in there, and I didn't feel like it was in a stereotypical kind of way. It felt a little bit more real and more like layered than that, which I really appreciated. But then they stopped doing that.
So I've spoken with some of my friends who are Chinese about this film.
You've chatted to the Chinese community.
Yeah, I will just give, and it's their opinion. It's not everybody's opinion, but like I had the conversation essentially asking that question to them, right? It's like I am not, like I'm a white dude, right? Like the reason why I don't like this movie is because I just don't think it works for me, right? But like there's a lot of stuff that like I could just not be aware of because it's like not my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them, and then I also read an article from a film critic that I like to read, Walter Cha, and he wrote about this movie, and I'll give basically their opinions. But my friend who I was talking to was like, they really liked this film because of the representation, and it, so they don't get, this is like the first time they got to see their culture be superheroes, mm-hmm. right? And it's predominantly their culture, and they just get to like exist and all this stuff. And then I was like asking them questions and being like, as we were talking about the movie, I was like, I didn't like how they used the sisters. Like, she's kind of just forgotten, and like the dad obviously doesn't care about her, and the brother supposed to, but then also just entirely forgets about her a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking to us like, well, they're like, well, that is consistent with like Chinese culture, right? Like the son is the favorite child over mm-hmm. a daughter. It is, that's just it. They were like, that's just what it's like, honestly, or like that's what it's been. Mm-hmm. And they appreciated the Awkwafina character in Tao Lo because it is like there is a huge dissonance between anybody who immigrates to a country because then you're like Canadian Chinese, right?
Yeah.
So you are othered in the country.
You're suddenly no longer just Chinese.
Yeah, you're othered in the country that you're actually a citizen of. But then if you mm-hmm. go back to where your family is from, you're also not.
Yeah, you're also othered. You're Americanized or whatever.
So they appreciated that, how Awkwafina was so like awkward and couldn't fit in that situation.
What I liked, though, is that she wasn't like overplayed. Like, she wasn't like the dumb American in those places, you know?
No, she was just kind of like, just
it felt
there.
Realistic.
Like, she didn't know what to do, couldn't mm-hmm. understand anything, right? And was just kind of being like, well, I don't feel at home here. Which they appreciated, and they ultimately liked it. But that's their opinions on it. And I think that is important, to have movies that do have representation, because mm-hmm. it just can't always be white superheroes. From the film critic I read, I'll put the article that I read in the description, and his entire article is that they felt like there was a lot of like tropes mm-hmm. in this film, and it's repackaged in a way of being like, but we're telling them. And for him, that didn't work.
Yeah.
But that's each their own. Obviously, you know, the film can succeed or fail on that, but it's an important conversation to have. And I just really feel like it's not something I directly can speak to, because, mm-hmm. you know, if we're talking about white superheroes, then sure. But they generally just get to exist. They don't have to like prove why they get to.
Well, exactly. It's the same thing as like female directors or whatever. It's like,
I'm sorry, what?
Who are they? If this movie doesn't do well, then suddenly it's not just like, oh, it's like a superhero movie. It's like, Asian superhero movies are meh. It's like, no, that's that's not how it works, you know?
Yeah, that's just the way it is right now. And where we ended up in my conversation with my friend is that I'm very excited to see the second one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can actually just make a movie without having to like build up all the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And they can just be like, what is Shang-Chi going to do? He doesn't have to, like, he's finished. His like backstory is kind of wrapped up. I obviously know like his sister is going to be a bigger character, I hope. And mm-hmm. she deserves to be. And I do think there's a lot there. But
the thing is, if there's a second one, I'd be really interested in watching it if it was like the first chunk of this movie. Like valets by day. Like I thought it was so cute that they went karaokeing and that they're best friends and there wasn't anything romantic and stuff like that. Like I would watch the hell out of that movie, though I think that movie is a heist or an action movie and not a superhero movie. But I would love that. I would love to see them in San Francisco doing their thing, fighting crime, being undercover, having two personalities, you know, whatever. I don't want to see the mystical, otherworldly portal nonsense. It's just not for me.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
That's why I always liked Tony Stark better than a lot of the other Marvel things, because, like, he's a real man, very rich man, very smart man with all this cool technology, but it's like, it's real, right? He doesn't fly. He does fly, but he there's science behind why he flies. You know, it's not just like mystical, you know?
Yeah. My hope for the second one is that he's like a superhero. Obviously, he's going to be like stopping crimes and shit. Mm-hmm. But I also hope it's like more focused on him growing and then dealing with the fact that his sister is now, you know, she's not entirely good, right? Like, she's kind of like shades of gray. Like, obviously, like, I think it's safe to assume that his sister's not going to be evil, but that she's definitely working as like a head of a crime organization.
Her morality is a little bit different, perhaps.
Yeah. And I would love, like, I think there is a lot you can mine for a movie. Mm-hmm. Between those two characters about like the conflict that rises for somebody who wants to do good and somebody else is like, well, I'm doing this, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hope it does. But I'm more excited for that.
I hope the aunt comes back. I liked the aunt. I found her quite captivating for some reason.
I assume anybody who didn't die in this movie will be back in the next one. That's generally how these work. And maybe even the people who died will be back.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a Fast and the Furious movie? It doesn't matter if they've died.
How dare you? How dare you? How dare you do that to me right
I've
now?
I've seen one and I already know everything.
How dare you? You bring in the Fast and the Furious in a superhero conversation? God damn it.
Okay, if you're saying The Rock is not a superhero, you're wrong.
I mean, he's built like one in real life. And yes, he is playing a superhero in his next film.
Is he?
Yeah, he's playing Black Adam that comes out in like 2022 or something. But that's okay. A DC movie, so he's not in the Marvel franchise because he's too big for Marvel. Or he can't, he probably might, this is completely sidetracked, but my guess is that The Rock probably wants a lot of creative control in his films. And he is a huge movie star and he can probably demand that. And he probably costs a lot to get into movies. And I just don't think Marvel wants to give up that control or pay his rate, would be my assumption.
Yeah, I believe that.
And if you bring The Rock into your movie franchise, The Rock is automatically the biggest star in the Marvel franchise then.
Yeah, and they already have too many big stars with big attitudes.
And he's just going to be The Rock.
Oh, man. Pierce Brosnan's in it, too.
In Black Adam?
Yeah.
Are there any other Bonds in it?
No, he's Dr. Fate, it looks like.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Aldous Hodge is in it, too.
Oh. Is he the
bad
guy?
Noah Centineo, I think is his
name.
I
knew that. They've got him out on the promotion trail. I did not know about Aldous Hodge or Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, I feel like Pierce Brosnan's probably the bad guy. If his name is Dr. Anything, he's probably the bad guy.
I'm not going to say anything because of spoilers. And, you know, I know how much you care about superhero.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch this movie for sure.
Yeah, you're definitely going to watch all of the superhero stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, where I end up on this movie is it has a lot of the flaws the other superhero movies have. I think it's perfectly fine and good one of those, but ultimately left me kind of a little empty.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is there anything else you want to say?
Mm-mm, I would agree with all of that.
Okay, then you can find me at James Willix everywhere on the internet, except on Twitter where the O is a zero. And you can find Carolyn
at CarolynDunk93 on all of the things.
And you can send us an email at letswatchpod@gmail.com. And we will be talking about Tick, Tick, Boom next. Lin-Manuel Miranda's Netflix movie that has the most amount of facial acting I've ever seen in my life.
It's a musical.